The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party, Season 4, Episode 14, called Mile Marker 54, MM54. And it is Sunday, the 16th of September. Tonight's show may contain spoilers up to the last episode, and things from any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to episode 14 of Fear the Walking Dead season 4. After tonight, there will be two more episodes, then season 4 will wrap on Sunday, September 30th. AMC has confirmed at San Diego Comic-Con that The Walking Dead season 9 begins the following weekend, opening on October 7th. So we will be running straight through with no breaks into the winter holidays. I'm going to check the chat room real quick, and we are alone for the moment, but I am pretty sure that some of our friends will be joining us. So let's go back to my notes. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, and give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being horrible and 10 being perfect, and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers that you know about or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. Anytime between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, you're welcome to call after. If you call during the show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. I'll be able to chat with you in a monitor on the board, but it'll just be the two of us privately. So if the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. And we usually post the links for those on our Facebook page. So each episode every week has its own discrete website link. And then if you're unable to join us tonight, you can still go to the link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. All right, check the chat room again. Still waiting on some friends. That's fine. We'll just go ahead and keep going. So tonight's episode, as I mentioned, is called MM54, which stands for Mile Marker 54. The official AMC synopsis is difficult decisions lead the group into uncertainty. Alicia delivers on a promise to Charlie. And we usually read through a couple of websites that regularly write about the show. The first one being fansided.com, so we have some additional synopses. This one was written by Brittany Frederick, who is a frequent writer about the show for them. And she says, Fear the Walking Dead puts Alicia back in the spotlight this week. Here's the official synopsis, but, you know, actually she didn't say it yet, but when we get to it, we'll skip over because we already did it. So Fear the Walking Dead is putting more weight on Alicia Clark's shoulders, according to AMC's official description of Sunday's new episode. Sunday's installment is called MM54, which is presumably short for Mile Marker 54. That makes us wonder what could be lurking in that particular location, because it's not a spoiler to say, well, that's if you're current with the show. It's not a spoiler to say it's not going to be an ice cream truck or a smoky bear. It won't be good, and that particularly bad news for Alicia. Already having gone through the ringer a lot during Fear the Walking Dead season 4, a few episodes ago, literally, Alicia has the main storyline in this episode as she makes sure to keep a promise to the young girl, Charlie. How far will she have to go to keep her word? In fact, how much should we be worrying about Charlie, given that kids don't have the greatest track record in the Walking Dead universe? Sorry, Carl. Meanwhile, more difficult decisions are made. Now, you know, in Carl's defense, Judith is still here so far. Yes, I know she wasn't in the comics. We don't talk about that. Meanwhile, more difficult decisions are made and more futures look uncertain because of them. In that respect, this is going to be like every other episode in this canon. There isn't one that does not have some tough choice or some moment of confusion in it. Will Alicia perhaps be able to step up and provide some clarity to her fellow survivors too? Or Morgan would be great in this situation, but somebody is going to have to solve the puzzle and do it before the group falls to pieces yet again. Official description, blah, 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 and that's how they wrap up. Check in the chat room. Still alone for the moment. It's possible that friends may be joining us closer to go time. So let's go down to the next synopsis. Pardon me for just a moment. I have to clear my throat. All right, so let me pull the next one up for you. And that is from undeadwalking.com. And this is by Sarah Beth Pollock, another regular writer about the show. And she says, sorry, just pulling this up. There we go. Until now, the surviving members of the group have been working to stay alive on their own, but now that they're coming back together, they have to think about everyone else. Will trying to rescue their friends make things worse as the threat of the filthy woman looms large over the group? Here's a synopsis, skipping that part. The filthy woman seems to know a lot about Morgan. May I add, she claims she does. I actually haven't seen any incontrovertible evidence of this yet. She just may be talking a good game. Or she's run into Morgan before. Of all the characters, Morgan really has a knack for putting himself out there by getting on the radio and telling people where he's going and why they should join him. While that can be helpful when your group has become separated, it's not ideal to broadcast your plans when you don't know who's listening. We saw this with Alicia and the boat, and that didn't work very well at all, and that's a very good point. After attacking the big rig, why can't we have nice things in the apocalypse? Things are going to change for the group because she's hot on the trail. We've been led to assume she's working alone, which could be true, or she might be one of several people sabotaging the supply boxes for some unknown reason. The big question in all this is how the filthy woman connects to Polar Bear. Luciana was with Clayton in his final moments. Will that knowledge somehow make a difference to the filthy woman? Was she his friend or his enemy? I have my opinions and guesses. I don't know if you guys want to share yours. That would be fine. That is the end of that article, so let me pull up the last synopsis article for you. And this is from comicbook.com, also a regular source that we share. And this one is from another regular writer, Cameron Bolamona. This is from September 9th, when they first started releasing the previews for this week's episode. As the group slowly reconnects, Morgan has found his way back to Al, June, and now Luciana, after forming a tepid alliance with brewer Jim and trucking grifter duo Wendell and Sarah. The pack of survivors are pursued by the mysterious... Whoops, I scrolled too far. Give me just a second. Mysterious and vengeful filthy woman who tells Morgan over the walkie-talkie, I'm making you stronger. You lose people, you lose yourself. Before using the high-powered guns on Al's stolen SWAT van to assault Sarah and Wendell's 18-wheeler. Despite leaving the episode on a nail-biting cliffhanger, previews for episode 414 reveal that everyone makes it out of the vicious attack in one piece for now. We need to keep moving away from the things they want to eat us, says Jim, who has been holed up in his brewery since the dawn of the apocalypse and is subsequently unsuited for the outside world and its many dangers. In the wake of the crash, and with gnawing walkers nearby, Jim is half out the door despite Morgan's warnings he wouldn't get far. You know what? I'll take my chances, Jim says, stopped in his tracks by an insult lobbed by Sarah. You wouldn't even be here if Momo hadn't saved your ass from those meat munchers. And another term for walkers. Yes, I'm still working on Joan's base list, and I'm going to get all these together, but it's got about 15 different sources on it now, so I want to be sure to document the origins of everything for you. But I will get that to you guys. So, saved your ass from those meat munchers. You owe the man. For what? We all got shot at because he brought us back here, Jim says, laying blame on an already guilty Morgan. Because he wouldn't listen to what that wacko said. She wants him, not us. The filthy woman's fixation on a soon-to-unravel Morgan will continue to play out as episode 414 takes a look into the history of the wacko, a staunch supporter of the belief that helping weakens the survivors of the world. MM54 picks up with the survivors in a tense gun-to-gun standoff with the filthy woman before they move into the city, where they find themselves trapped by a horde of walkers with no apparent means of escape. And most of this was in one of the preview trailers for tonight, so it's not spoiling anything AMC hasn't already released. I'll check the chat room again, and Joan has now joined us. Let us check and see how her flash and audio are doing. You hear me? Tommy, can you hear me? Hopefully, yes. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start on the next section, which is writers and directors. So we have a little treat for you guys tonight. Tonight's episode is directed by actor Lou Diamond Phillips and written by Anna Fischko and Shintaro Shimasawa. And I apologize in advance. I'm going to profile Lou Diamond Phillips, and it's fairly long. He hasn't been involved with the show before, and I'm kind of fond of him as an actor. So I really didn't want to cut anything out because we've never done a profile on him for the show before. So here is what I have. Lou Diamond Phillips is an actor and director known for Courage Under Fire, 96, Stand and Deliver, 88, and The Big Hit, 98. Born February 17, 62, in Subic Bay, I hope I'm saying that right, S-U-B-I-C, Bay, Naval Base, Olongapo City, Zambales, Philippines. His birth name was Lou Diamond Upchurch. Don't try to identity steal. Lou's father, Gerald Ammon Upchurch, was an American from Georgia and had English and Scots-Irish ancestry. Lou's mother, Lucito Umayam Araña, was Filipino from Candelaria. Named by his father for highly decorated gunnery sergeant Leyland Lou Diamond, USMC, who enlisted in the Marines at age 27 in 1917 and saw action in both World Wars. To this day, Lou Diamond, and referring to the gunnery sergeant, is considered one of the finest Marines of all time and is known as, quote, Mr. Leatherneck. The name Phillips is from his stepfather, being Lou the actor's stepfather. Lou grew up in Corpus Christi, Texas. He worked at Whataburger as a teen, becoming a shift leader during his term of employment. Graduated the University of Texas at Arlington with a BFA in drama. Graduated earlier from Flower Bluff High School in Corpus Christi. Went to the same college as Ray Khorasani, Johnny Cruz, and Kim Matula. He has been married to Yvonne Boismier, B-O-I-S-M-I-E-R, Boismier Phillips. I don't know if it's French, so I don't know sure how to pronounce it, since August 16th of 2007. They have one child. They're the parents of a girl, Indigo Sonara, on October 9th, 2007. He met his wife while shooting a Radio Shack commercial in Vancouver. All right, let me skip down here real quick. He was previously married to Kelly Nay Preston Phillips, has three daughters with second wife Kelly Phillips, twins Grace and Isabella in October 97, and Lily Jordan September of 99. His first wife, he's been married three times. His first wife, Julie Cipher, you guys may know her from being currently partnered with Melissa Etheridge. He was also once engaged to Jennifer Tilly. He's good friends with Kiefer Sutherland, which came into play in a movie they worked on. He also was very good friends with the late Brandon Lee. He loves playing poker and has held games at his Los Angeles home for nearly two decades for friends and others. He's 1/8 Cherokee and contributed Native American vocals on the Jon Bon Jovi solo album Young Guns 2 soundtracks in 1990. All right, let's get talking about his acting bio. Oh, Joan has said, we're having trouble with the internet company, and, oh, she can hear me when the internet is behaving. Apparently, it's not behaving very well. All right, I'll do the best I can, Joan. So let's talk about Lou's acting. He started acting in theater at the Stage West in Fort Worth, Texas. He plays with the group, I assume this is a music group, the Pipe Fitters with Lou Diamond Phillips. He was seriously considered for the role of Agent John Doggett on The X-Files 93. Well, he was nominated for Broadway's 1996 Tony Award as Best Actor in a Musical for playing one of the title roles. He was the King in a Broadway revival of King and I. He turned down his role in Supernova in 2000 a few times before eventually accepting it. He has had 9 wins and 7 nominations for various film awards, including Golden Globes, Emmys, and the Imogen Foundation Awards. In May 2011, Phillips accepted the G.I. Spirit Award from Brandon Millett and Laura Law Millett, who are founders of the G.I. Film Festival. The award is presented to actors embodying, quote, the spirit of an American G.I. in their creative and philanthropic work, end quote. Prior recipients of the award include Gary Sinise, John Voight, Kerry Turner, and Rich Schroeder. He starred as a king in the revival of Rodgers and Hammerstein's A King and I, also starred as King Arthur in the National Tour of Camelot from 2007. He was dubbed, quote, an honorary Latino by Remezcla, R-E-M-E-Z-C-L-A, a website targeting Latino millennials. His latest acting project is a movie called Big Kill, which is a film that came out in February of 2018. He has over 140 acting credits alone, my personal favorite being La Bamba and Young Guns. Interesting trivia, he has an uncredited stunt credit for Disorganized Crime, a cop comedy film from 89. I like to check out these things because I've done a baby bit of independent stunt work, so I'm always interested in that sort of stuff. All right, let me see. Oh. And Joan says, so far, so good on the sound. Knock on laminate. Hope nothing happens. Okay. So, last but not least, he has Lou has directed several TV episodes previously, but tonight is his very first work of any sort in the Walking Dead universe. So, actually, after that long, hot mess here, I'm going to give him some applause for all the stuff he's done. Quite a bit of accomplishment going on. So hopefully tonight will be yet another feather in the cap. So the writers, Anna Fischko has been profiled here before. She is a supervising producer for all of Fear Season 4. She has previously written the scripts for Episode 5, Laura, and Episode 9, mid-season opener, People Like Us. This will be her third writing gig for Fear. Shintaro Shimasawa has also been profiled before. He has been co-executive producer for all of Fear Season 4. He has previously written 2 prior episodes, being Episode 3, Good Out Here, which was Nick's death episode, and Episode 10, Close Your Eyes, the Zombie-Nado episode. This is his third writer's credit for the Walking Dead universe as well. And okay, these notes I don't need. I have a little placeholder in here because we used to not get the writers and directors in advance, so I would profile the prior week, but we've been very lucky so far, so I don't have to do that. Trivia about tonight's episode, as has often also been happening, we don't get anything in advance other than it's the 51st episode of Fear overall. Trivia from the last episode, episode 13, is the first and last appearance of Clayton, last appearance of Purvis, zombified. And an update, we still do not have the actor's name who plays Purvis. And I know it was a short role, but they went to the bother to give him a name and to give him stuff to do, so I'm very shocked that they don't have it listed anywhere. We do know now that Clayton, I just mentioned, was the missing trucker, though. And Goose Era's bloopers, none were listed. So next, I want to get to the cast birthdays. It is 8:49, so we have 11 minutes. So birthdays this week. Aldis Hodge, who played Mike, which was one of the two of Michonne's boyfriend, friend, pets. His birthday is September 20th. He's from Onslow County, North Carolina. Hopefully his hometown is doing all right in the Last Vestiges of Florence. Next birthday, Jonathan Edward John Barenthal, who played Shane. Also September 20th, different year. He's from Washington, D.C. I did not know he was a local boy. Very neat. Christian Serratos, who plays Rosita, is September 21st, and she is from Pasadena, California. So let's give them some birthday applause. Thank you guys for your work on the show. Always appreciated. Okay. Here's a reminder. Please join us again next Sunday for the next episode, and we only have two left. Number 15, I Lose People, and that'll be on the 23rd. And then number 16, the season finale, I Lose Myself, and that is on September 30th. And then please remember to come back after that for Walking Dead Classic Season 9 to begin on October 7th. Featured music, which I sometimes share with you guys if I can find it. We did not identify any songs from last week, so I don't have anything on that. We do have some discussions, and I'm going to pull up as many of those links as I can get to, either before or in between the commercials, and read those to you guys. This first one is from UndeadWalking.com, and it's Fear the Walking Dead Blackjack Panel Discussion by Sonia Arena. And this week, our panel breaks down Fear the Walking Dead's version of a buddy comedy with John Dorian Strand and what exactly the Filthy Woman's deal is. I'm not sure what she means by discussions. I don't know if these are conventions or what. All right. Fear the Walking Dead's triumphant reboot season is quickly coming to a close, and it looks like some type of showdown between Morgan, the remaining survivors, and the Filthy Woman is approaching. It's hard to tell at this point if the Filthy Woman wants to think that they are all weak and wants to make them strong, quote, by turning them into walkers, or if she just wants to make Morgan turn. She seems to be really fixated on him. And John Dorian Strand are the buddy comedy duo we have been needing. While their relationship is funny to watch, there were also some real moments of depth for Victor Strand. It's easy to forget what a complex character he is because Coleman Domingo is just so charismatic on the screen. But Strand is definitely in pain right now, missing Madison and Nick. Without Nick and Madison and Daniel, Strand might never have gotten out of that holding pen at the military internment camp back in season one. Where the heck is Daniel Salazar anyway? Thank you, I've been saying that for weeks. I haven't given up hope that he will reappear. No one's gone till they're gone. Now, John Dory and June need to be reunited so the world will be in balance again. But before that happens, Morgan, June, Al, Jim, Lucy, and the twins need to escape the attack by the Filthy Woman who has Al's van and the heavy weaponry that Al installed. Let's break down the events of Fear the Walking Dead Blackjack before the new episode this Sunday. They say next section, Alicia to the rescue. I'm going to check and see if Joan has anything to add. No, not yet. All right, let's go ahead. It's 8:53, so I'll do what I can. I may have to come back to this during the commercial break. Alicia and Charlie have heard from Morgan via the walkie-talkie and now know that the group might be in trouble. Do you think that Alicia will be the one to potentially take down the Filthy Woman? Sonia says, I think Alicia will definitely try to figure out a way to get there and help the others out. She and Luciana share a bond because of Nick, and Alicia and Morgan clearly have a lot of respect for each other. I don't think Alicia is too fond of June right now, but that wouldn't stop her from jumping in to help if she can get to them in time. But I think that ultimately Morgan will be the one to take the Filthy Woman down. They have some sort of connection. Sarah says, I totally think that Alicia will take down the Filthy Woman. Whether she kills her or not, Alicia's ready to come back to the group, and I don't believe she wants any harm to come to Morgan or the others. She is ready to fight. And Sarah Beth says, I'm starting to wonder if the group will try to take down the Filthy Woman or if they will try to save her. Alicia was trying to follow along in her mother's footsteps, and Morgan prefers salvation over killing. Even John prefers the diplomacy route. So I wonder if they will kill her or try to, quote, save her. Next, Morgan's fighting skills. What will the twins and Jim make of Morgan's fighting skills? The newcomers to the group seem to question who Morgan really is. Do you think that they will become more afraid or impressed with Morgan if they were to see Morgan in his violent state? Sonia says, I think that so far, Sarah, Wendell, and Jim have vastly underestimated Morgan. They saw a little bit of what he was capable of when he survived the walkers surrounding him when they left him to die, and they saw a little of his stick skills with a shovel, but I don't think they have any idea right now who Morgan is or what he can do. I think they will be a little afraid when they release what a skilled killer he is, but that will also, but they will also be glad to have him in the group. And I think they will be more curious than ever and about Alexandria, and they will wonder if everyone there is as capable as Morgan is. Sarah says, I think this group will definitely be surprised to see Morgan's other side. They have seen his peaceful and calm demeanor, but once Morgan snaps, there's no coming back from that. It will serve the group well to stay on his good side. Actually, I beg to differ, Sarah. He's come back from it several times. It's been a plot point. Sarah Beth says, Morgan is the ultimate chameleon. I think that's part of what frustrated Carol so much. He was so capable, and yet he denied his skills in favor of talking it out. In fairness, his desire to save everyone backfired a lot. Sarah got a small glimpse of his abilities when he flicked the knife from her hand. When they see what he's capable of, I think the newcomers will appreciate what he can do and embrace and support him. Check in the chat room. We're still good. 8:56, so we may have time for one more page. So, will Strand rejoin the group or go it alone? Strand seems to be struggling with the losses of Madison and Nick, and yet he does seem to have genuine respect for John Dory, even though, may I point out, he totally said the opposite, but that may be posturing, as Strand often does. Do you think that Strand can come back from his losses and really commit to being part of the group? Sonia says, if anyone is going to bring Strand back into the fold, it's John Dory. But Strand is definitely struggling. He had a real connection with Madison and Nick, and for a man like Victor Strand, that's not an easy thing to come by. But he does see something special in John Dory, and he will have a connection with John too. I think he will never fully get over the loss of Madison and Nick, but that their influence will convince him to join the group and commit to staying with the group. Sarah says, John and Strand bonded so well together in this episode. Strand is totally showing signs that he is ready and willing to commit to the group, especially the new members. Making new friends like John will definitely do Strand some good. Sarah Beth says, I absolutely think he can rally from this. Everyone heals differently, and no one has had much time to process what's happened. But Strand can do it, and he knows his, quote, family is all he has. All right, 8:58, we have a couple more minutes, so let's go to the next part, the filthy woman's obsession with Morgan. Why do you think the filthy woman is so focused on Morgan? Sonia says, I think that she sees something in Morgan that she hasn't seen in other survivors. I think that especially after watching his tape, oh yes, good point, she sees strength in him that she finds intriguing. And because she's so focused on turning people from, quote, weak or human into strong or walkers, I think that she thinks if she can turn Morgan into a walker, he will be the strongest walker she's ever come across. But she doesn't know that Morgan doesn't die. Yeah, that was a thing. Sarah says, I really do believe that Filthy Woman knows about Morgan's past. I agree with you, Sarah. She may have encountered him pre-apocalypse, and maybe this is why she's so focused on him. She's definitely hiding something big. Sarah Beth says, Filthy Woman knows something about Morgan, but she knows a lot about many things. She, quote, knew Polar Bear and his truck and the radio network and the mini marts full of supplies. She's poisoning water supplies. Clearly she knows a lot, but when it comes to Morgan, I wonder if she watched him on his journey from Alexandria. Did she see him coming unhinged? There's a spark in her eye when she talks, so I think there's a lot more to this than we can possibly imagine. And I'll tell you guys, just, you know, based on the trailer and some other info, I have a theory that she met Morgan on his way down to Texas, and it didn't go well. So we're about to go live. I'm going to go ahead and mute, and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:12, and we are at the first commercial break, and Joan is starting way out the gate, and I don't blame her. She's starting at 7 this week because Tanya Pinkend is taking it to new levels, she says. I'm at 6.25. Typically, we start around 5. Let me go ahead and grab any last few comments that we had before we started the rating thing. So we were kind of speculating, since it opened with the Filthy Woman's backstory. Joan had said she thought Filthy Woman could have just watched the tape of Morgan and Al's vehicle and was trying to psych him out. And I had mentioned, we were talking about that. Okay, I said something on the air. I didn't type it. So piecing that all together, I had posited that because I had actually seen this scene in the preview trailer. And I had posited that she might have met Morgan under those circumstances, and it turns out not. But Joan had said, I hadn't thought about her having met him before, but that's an intriguing idea. We now know her name is Martha. I thought that she had said her husband's name was Jim, but I wasn't sure if I heard it right. And it looks like nobody stopped to help her. And so no one helps her, and now she doesn't help anyone. And this may explain her obsession with that helping makes you weak and not able to take care of yourself. And apparently mile marker 54 is where her husband is buried and where they had the accident. So it seems like Morgan would have remembered her if he had met her before, maybe mentioned it at some point. Wow, she could be Morgan's twin in the crazy department. These are also things Joan had said. And I think if Morgan knew her and heard that voice on the radio, he might have realized. So I had thought that first truck that stopped was Polar Bear. I was kind of right, in that it was a truck that was part of his team that was sending the boxes out. And so this woman working with him, and so nobody helped her with her husband, Joan says. Now she's like Morgan after he lost his wife and son and went crazy, only she's taking it to a whole new level, and that's kind of my point. She's taking it above and beyond, I kind of think. And the one trucker that wouldn't tell him shit at the end of that whole chain series apparently was Purvis, because they got bit in the arm right where Purvis had a giant wound. And so that's how he fits in. Still waiting to get the actor's name. I'm only obsessed with it because I find it weird they didn't put it. There's a Lodge 49 preview, so we may be going back in a hot second. And we are, so I'll see you guys at break number 2. Okay, guys, it's 9:20. We are at commercial break number 2. So let's go ahead and get new scores up. I'm going to 6.75 because I am super feeling it. I'm having a little chat room issue myself. Not so much like Joan where I can't hear anything. Pardon my hiccups. I'm so sorry. Joan is commenting and I'm actually not seeing it. Sorry about that, Joan. I hope you can hear me. I'm going to 6.75. Joan's staying at 7. So comments in between. I agreed with Joan that Tanya is definitely bringing it. And just noticing, oh, well, Filthy Woman shot up, what's his name's chair. And Joan says, on the road again, and he shot up her shoulder. If there's any justice, she'll bleed out. Yeah. But I don't think there is, because this is not a spoiler, only because you can look it up anywhere on the internet. She is listed on the season finale, so this isn't it for her. But it definitely could be, you know, making her more aggravated. So Jones at 7 and 6.75 for me. So I went ahead and pulled up an article I was going to read a little later, but I think it's time. So this is UndeadWalking.com from Adam Carlson. And it's the Talking Dead guest this week, which I wanted to get into with you guys. So there will be some great guests on the couch for Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick, breaks down season 4, episode 14, on September 16th. To continue to telling the story of the survivors attempting to regroup after a vicious storm splits them up and tore the area apart. And, of course, Talking Dead will be there to help fans break it down afterwards. So, here is the guest list for Talking Dead. Number one, Tonya Pinkins. So, the Filthy Woman will be on. Let's give her some applause because she's great. Second guest tonight on the Talking Dead couch is Lou Diamond Phillips, who is tonight's director, and let's give him some applause. Thank you. And last but not least, actor and comedian Sinbad is the third guest. And it's interesting. We've done a radio show on the other show that I do on psychology about the Mandela effect, which there is an iteration of that involves Sinbad and a genie movie that never happened. There was a TV show, and it was temporary, but the movie case, people say, I've seen a picture of the box, and they've claimed to own the box, but they don't. So the long and the short of it is that Sinbad has quite a bit of notoriety just being part of the Mandela effect in our pop culture. But he's also done a lot of other comedic roles, including something to do with President's Child. I don't remember how it happened, but they were shooting the movie in D.C. here. I remember that part. So Jonah's looking forward to that, and I am too. I will watch at least some of it before I have to go to bed. So anyway, that is the Talking Dead guest, so I'm going to go ahead and pull up another discussion link because we have a couple more minutes. It's 9:24. And I imagine we'll get back to it in a second, but I'll set up what I can while we have a little window going on. There's a Jurassic World video game trailer. Oh, we actually are back, so I'll see you guys at break number three. It's 9:29 and we're already at commercial break number three. Let's go ahead and get some scores up. Jones is creeping up 75 now. I'm willing to go ahead and go to 7, even though I kind of feel like, well, we've seen in the promo some things that lead me to believe the hospital trip is not going to go well. But it is a fair statement that often they have done that in the previews, and that isn't actually how it ends up. So who knows? But at any rate, our intrepid anti-heroes are taking a side trip off the highway to get to this hospital that they just saw a sign for. Try to maybe get another wheelchair. Of course, now they don't have a truck to rig it to, so we'll see. But, you know, maybe they'll get something that'll help people out. So Jones is 725. I'm at 7. We now have a new term. I mentioned this earlier before Joan had gotten here. Meat munchers. That was brought up by the lady trucker whose name escapes me at the moment because I'm a giant spaz and I forgot. I could probably tab over and find out. Sarah. Yes, Sarah and Wendell. So Sarah comes up with meat munchers. I'm going to have to add that to the giant list that Joan started for me. Let me see. I want to write that down. I'll do that while I'm talking to you guys because I don't want to lose track of it. Sarah, trucker lady. These people don't have last names. That's fine. You know, it doesn't really come up much in this kind of a scenario. Lady, Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 14, MM54. Okay. Got that on my notes, and I'll come back to that. I am going to get the list finalized, and I'll share that with you guys. And Jonah's mentioned, if they do manage to find another wheelchair, he has a little trick things that he did to it, and he'd have to do that all over again. And that's true, but it beats the alternative, because you know where it's not safe to be standing? In front of a herd. We definitely don't want to do that. Okay, so next article I'm going to try to share with you guys as I can is from comicbook.com from August 27th. And Fear the Walking Dead showrunners dish on new characters. Some of this is not going to be new since we've had episodes since then. But I just want to share it and get a, you know, complete explanation of things that we may have missed or forgotten. So this is written by Cameron Bolomono, one of the regular writers. And he says, so Fear the Walking Dead showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg have opened up about the decision behind bringing in two lighter characters in the form of trucking grifters Sarah and shotgun writing partner Wendell. Quote, coming off the previous episode with Alicia and Charlie having their reckoning together during the hurricane in a house, that was a very dark episode, and there was only a small glimmer of hope at the end. We wanted something that was really a shift in which we're reminding the audience that at the end of the day, there is hope in the world. We ended up landing on these two characters who we meet in Wendell and Sarah, Chambliss told EW, which is Entertainment Weekly. Lenny James's Morgan first encounters wheelchair-bound Wendell post-business when stepping up from a handicap-accessible bathroom stall. Actually, it wasn't stepping out. Wendell interrupted his business, if I might add there, Cameron. Let's call things by the proper names. Something Wendell takes issue with because amenities were, quote, made for people like me. It's an atypical first meeting for the Walking Dead world. Almost as atypical as introducing levity among the misery. I don't know. I object to that. But we are back. I'll see you guys at commercial and break number 4, and we can discuss it further. And we're doing kind of the opposite dance from most nights where the breaks between things are getting a little shorter. It's 9:39, and we're at commercial break number 4. Joan's staying at 725. I'm going to come up with you to 725 and kind of hover there. And that's all fine and well. Just a few comments that we were making while we're during the break. Jonas said she's ready for the group to be all back together again already. And she was a little shocked. Is that the hospital? Looks like they got in, but. And I said, yes, it is. And I had seen the hospital in some of the promo material, so I kind of knew something like this was coming at any rate. Not really sure how it was going to shake down, but. And so they had a little conversation about Al asking Wendell how he got in the chair, and they were talking together, and he tried to sign up for the Marines and said that the recruiting officer had laughed at him. And I had wondered if maybe the recruiting officer that laughed at him might have been Sarah, because Sarah was a Marine, and it kind of stands to reason why they would still be hanging out together somehow if they had that common thing in past. So I don't know. You know, that's kind of my theory on it. So let me scoot over to the thing I was reading you guys about the new characters from the showrunners. So continuing, one of the things we love about humor is how people often use it to cope with really difficult situations, Chambliss added. There's not something we can think of much more difficult than the zombie apocalypse. So these two characters, Sarah and Wendell, are people who almost are joking with each other and trying to keep things light because they have to. That's kind of their survival mechanism. It's a big shift when they come into contact with Morgan because he's not necessarily a character who goes around cracking jokes, so he's kind of the straight man to them. Also introduced is Brewer Jim, played by Aaron Stanford, who was on the verge of striking it rich before the world went to shit. Quote, all three of them have come from very different circumstances and are surviving in really different ways. I mean, you take Jim. He's someone who's been somewhat sheltered from the apocalypse. He's holed up in his brewery, and he has a very clear drive of what he wants to do. He believes that beer is key to bringing people back to civilization. And he's got that speech where he tells Morgan all the historical reasons for that, Goldberg said. Quote, it seems like it's a very kind of noble thing that Jim wants to do. But what we think is so kind of interesting about Jim is the contrast. And that he's actually doing it for a very selfish reason. He's got a big chip on his shoulder for what he feels like he didn't get before the apocalypse, that he feels like he should now. There's some complexity to Jim in that way. Sarah and Wendell refuse to help when Morgan, hands tied, was stranded helplessly on top of a car just inches away from a swarming pack of gnawing walkers. The pair aren't necessarily malicious, Chambliss says, but are instead more concerned with self-preservation. quote, I think if you ask Sarah and Wendell, they would say they're just two people trying to survive, and they don't necessarily see what they do as any worse than what anyone else would do, end quote. Chambliss explained, characterizing the pair as people trying to live in this world. Morgan does, I think, get through to them by the end, and even though they ostensibly are helping him in his mission to find his friends and leaving those boxes kind of begrudgingly on the side of the road, I think there's a part of them that may actually find some satisfaction in doing that, he added of the pair, helping Morgan disperse the boxes belonging to the mysterious new character who will emerge as the series' newest villain. All right, we are having a trailer for some kind of horror movie, so we're probably going to go back in a minute. So just last sentence. And that's something we're going to kind of play forward as we progress through the season. So that's the end of that anyway. This horror movie coming up is by the same producers of The Walking Dead. So let me see what this is for. I don't really know. It's got a very, you know, slasher film feel to it. September 26th. I didn't catch what it was. But we're now back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. $9.50 commercial break number 5, probably our last one, I would suppose, unless we have a super short one towards the end or run over. So let's go ahead and get some scores up. Yeah, I am going to stay at 725. Oh, we may have lost Joan. Welcome back. I'm not sure if you were cycling. I've gone 725. Go ahead and put your score up when you get a chance. Joan is also staying at 725, and we're both kind of wishing somebody would frickin' feed Jem to the walkers, because, Jesus Christ, what a whiner. Oh, my God. Okay. So, other articles, I don't know if we're going to have time, so I may try to pull one up, but I don't know if we'll get to it, and I will reread it next weekend if I end up not being able to get very far into it. What's going on. Joan, if you have anything you want to add, please feel free to let me know. I don't know how long this break will be since we only got 10 minutes left. But this is from TVGuide.com. It was back in August 13th by Liam Matthews. And it's, Are Morgan and Fear the Walking Dead headed back to the Walking Dead? Which is somewhat relevant because we're still talking about taking the crew back to Virginia. And we're going to have a timeline problem again because now Walking Dead Classic has skipped ahead. We know for season 9 there's a time jump. So the article says, Morgan Jones crossed over from Walking Dead to Fear the Walking Dead in the latter season 4 premiere, and the mid-season premiere set a plan in motion to undo all of that and send it back. In the mid-season premiere, quote, people like us, Morgan decided he wanted to head back to Alexandria where he came from and tell his friend Rick Grimes that Rick was right about Morgan needing to be around people. Morgan lost his mind in Alexandria and found it again in Texas, and he wanted to rejoin his old crew and bring his new friends like Al and Alicia with him. He and Al had plans to hit the road. Oh, here's the Talking Dead. 855-DEAD-LIVE. I don't know if we can call in. We may be going back, though. Oh, no, we're not. We're in a commercial still. Joan, if you happen to catch what Chris Hardwick was talking about, let me know, and I can let our audience know. But let me go back to the article. So, he, Morgan, and Al had plans to hit the road, but those plans were put on hold by the arrival of a hurricane. The next 7 episodes will be about surviving the storm. Gosh, art imitates life, imitates art. But after that, it's possible they're going to cross back over one last time as The Walking Dead absorbs Fear of the Walking Dead. I don't know if they're going to do that because they have a time jump again. So they've ruined getting the timelines back in sync with each other. So, the writers will surely throw some curveballs to keep it from being too predictable, but as of now, it looks like the already greenlit 5th season will focus on Morgan and friends' journey to Alexandria. Season 5 will take the show on the road, like Season 5 of The Walking Dead. Fear will end as Morgan arrives back in Alexandria at the beginning of Walking Dead Season 10. Finds Rick dead and or gone, is very sad for a while, and reintegrates into The Walking Dead, along with whoever else survived the trip. It doesn't seem too difficult to make the timelines of each show line up for this, even accounting for The Walking Dead's 18-month Season 9 time jump. I don't know if I believe you, but we'll see. The deck will then be clear for whatever new spinoffs Chief Content Officer Scott Gimple is cooking up the Fear Walking Dead experiment of how many different shows can we make under the same title will come to an end. Gimple said at San Diego Comic-Con last month, being June, that more crossovers could happen, which could very well mean that he knows exactly how the next crossover will happen. And as for who survives, we'll see. TV Guide asked Jenna Elfman if her character June would consider making the trip with Morgan. She said no comment. Well, of course she did, because they're very picky about spoilers. We are back. I'll see you guys probably at show wrap. Okay, guys, it's 10:04, so let's go ahead and wrap up with final scores. I'm going to end on a 7.5. Ed, Joan, and I have very similar tastes in this show, so she's ending on 7.5 as well. Let me just grab the last few comments for you guys. There was a little bit more talking in this one, and I had said when we went on break, holy crap, suspense at the elevator. Almost didn't make it in. And I find that interesting with the elevators because that is kind of a trope in this particular genre, thanks to Dawn of the Dead. And Joe mentions Al sacrificing herself, not cool. Hope it doesn't mean she's done for the show. I think Madison has been the only death that they did not show and bring proper closure to, which I'm still salty about, by the way. But I don't think Al sacrificed herself. Like, I don't think she's actually gone. I think Luciana and June are right about her being very resourceful. So I think we're going to hear from her again. Jim got bit, as we thought, you know, might happen. He got really lucky. He got bit in the back. And I was teasing Joan because she had kind of wished for that, just throw him to the walkers. And she was getting tired of his whining anyway, she'd said. If he'd grown a pair and started being a team player, I'd have been okay with him, but all we do is complain. Now he's a plot point for Morgan spiraling again, maybe. Well, that's possible. And then at the very last part, Alicia and Charlie finding the little not lake where Strand and John Dory are stranded. Ha ha. Now we just got to get them across the lake from each other without TikTok alligator coming after people. One more thing I was going to mention. Actually, I'm going to Google this name real quick now that I have a second to kind of pause. The show is over. We're at Talking Dead. And, you know, that's important too. But I just want to wrap this up real quick. Dwayne Ray Havisher, Haevischer, of Shelby. I am a little bit fuzzy how he's connected to the show, but they gave him in memoriam for tonight's episode to him. So I'm trying to look up his obit. Oh, it's taking forever to come up. Here we go. 58, died in May. Paul Bears, blah, blah, blah. Going, I'm trying to find desperately how he's connected to the show. And I don't see anything. Although he's got an IMDb. So let me go there because that'll probably give me what I need to know. Transportation Department, 14 credits. I don't know if maybe he was a driver for the show. I'm unclear. He's got 14 transportation credits for various TV shows, but none of them are anything in The Walking Dead or any of that. So I don't know how he plugs in. But anyway, you know, if anybody finds anything and wants to let me know that he was in the memoriam tonight, you know, they dedicated the episode to him, but I don't know how he connects. I've really been trying to find out. He apparently also worked on From Dusk Till Dawn. The TV show version, Transportation Captain. Not really sure, but, you know, Joan, you're good at research. If you happen to figure out during the week who the heck he was, and we can give proper credit where it's due. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up so we can watch Talking Dead. I'm going to give you a thank you applause for joining us. Always appreciate your patronage, and I will see you guys next week. So let's go ahead and wrap. We are ending on 7.5. And just maybe John figured out how to kill the gator. Gator on the menu. Possibly. Okay. I will see you guys next week, and that'll be episode 15. And so that's it. Thank you for joining us, and talk to you guys.